You are now listening to a message from Ekea Christian Center. Get set to be edified. God has blessed you.
Praise God. Now let's open our Bible to the book of Psalms 18:29. Glory to God. It says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Can we read it again? "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I" what? All right. Now, this is David talking about supernatural assistance in the pursuit of supernatural accomplishments. He is saying, "I did supernatural things, but I recognize the hand of God in the things that I did." In Psalms 18 and verse 34, he says, "He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my hands. He teacheth my hands to war." Which means, David is saying, all right, I went into the wars and I fought those wars. I won those wars because God taught me how to fight. God taught me how to fight. But you see, if you look at these two verses, "By my God, I have run through a troop, and by my God, have I leaped over a wall," when you understand it in the context of David's life, David didn't run through a troop for running's sake. David didn't leap over a wall for leaping's sake. David ran through a troop, leaped over walls for the purpose of the expansion of God's kingdom. So, the supernatural assistance that David experienced and David saw, right, was for the purpose of the furtherance of God's agenda on the earth. Listen to me. You cannot live a purposeful life and a impactful life when you are thinking only about yourself. For you to be able to live a purposeful life and an impactful life, you need to think about something bigger than yourself. And that is the truth. That is the secret of kingdom living. Your life must be connected to a vision that is beyond you. A vision that is beyond your needs. A vision that is beyond your comfort. A vision that is beyond self. The moment you have been able to crack sight beyond self, the moment you have been able to crack living beyond self, that's the moment you begin to live. That's the moment you begin to understand the purpose of living. You see it in what Jesus Christ said in St. John's Gospel, chapter number 12 and 24. He said, "Except a corn of wheat dies," all right, "it abideth alone. But when it dies," or "if it dies, it" what? "Becomes" what? "A multitude." Jesus is speaking about his resurrection. So Jesus is talking about a corn of wheat being willing to die first before it can multiply. So that corn of wheat must be thinking about the possibility of the multitudes of corn that will arise from his death. So that corn of wheat cannot be thinking about preserving his status quo. The corn of wheat has to be thinking about, what do I need to do that the multitudes may come? Are you following what I'm saying? Church, are you following what I'm saying? So he has to think about the multitude, the multiplication, the multitudes of corn, and not be thinking about, oh, I need to be fine. I'm a wonderful, sexy corn. I need to remain in my sexiness. No. Glory to God. Say this with me. I must look beyond self. Louder. I must look beyond self. Say it with me. I will look beyond self. I will look beyond self-centeredness. Now listen. I'm going to be fast because I have a lot to give you. I have a lot to tell you. Glory to God. Now listen. David always saw God's hand when he followed through on God's divine agenda. There is an agenda. You see, seeing the hand of God in your life is not hard. It is just knowing what God's plan is and following it. You know, the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be" what? added to you. Now, many people have now tried to begin to say, oh, let us try to get the other things that are added via seeking the kingdom of God. That's the wrong approach. The right approach is to focus on the kingdom of God. You are not supposed to seek the other things that will be added. You are supposed to what? Seek what? The kingdom of God. Not using God as a means to an end. No, you seek the kingdom of God. And when you truly seek the kingdom of God, those other things by default will follow. You find Solomon was focused on building the temple of God. And by focusing on building the temple of God, his own temple, his own house, God built. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That is the system. Hallelujah. So the person who is focusing on how can I feed other people's children always finds out that their children are taken care of. Are you following what I'm saying? The person that is living beyond their self always have enough for themselves. Praise the Lord. Your business has to think that way, all right? Your career has to be that. When we are talking about, all right, being blessed financially, it has to be with that in mind, all right? Being blessed financially must not be driven by a sense of covetousness, all right? Selfishness and a means to try to pepper them. No, it has to be about following God's plan, being wonderful stewards, all right, and pursuing an agenda that is beyond self. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So let's look at what is God's kingdom? What's God's plan? All right. God's plan is very simple. God wants to see, he wants the earth filled with men and women, all right, that look like Jesus. Born again men and women, men that are born in the image of Christ, all right, and live, all right, like Christ. You know, Christ-likenessness, all right? Christ-likenessness. We look like him. We talk like him. His purpose is our purpose. That's what he wants to see on the earth. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you see God saying it, you know, all right? In the first chapter, he says, and God said, let us make man. Are you there? Come on, church. And God said, let us make man in our what? After our what? And let them have what? Over what? And over the what? And over the what? And over what? All the earth. He said, let us make man in our image. The image, our image. He's talking about divine. Divine image. The image of God is Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. So God wants men and women on the earth carrying the image of Christ. You're not born with the image of Christ. You are reborn in the image of Christ. It is the man that is born again that is born in the image of Christ. So what pleases God? The only thing God wants to see on the earth is men and women reborn after the image of Christ, because the Lord knows that if men and women are reborn after the image of Christ and they live like Christ, this earth will be a better place to live in. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Yeah, it will be a wonderful place to live in. It will be a better place to live in. Now, in Genesis 1:28, it now tells you that God wants that man who has been what created in the image of Christ, he wants that man to multiply on the earth. He wants that there will be plenty, plenty. I like that song. Nations are waiting. The people are hungry. Yo. There's something, something, something. And then I want to pledge my allegiance to the one who has called me. Oh, I will make Jesus proud. We will be many. Oh. I like the song. I don't know that song. Uh-huh. People, I don't know how they do that song, but they dance. You know, then there's one like this. Praise God. I'm trying to keep up with the Gen Zs. Amen. Glory to God. He says, and God blessed them and said unto them, be what? Genesis 1:28. He says, and God said unto them, be what? And what? And what? And what? You see that? He says, be plenty, be many, multiply. So you are born again. You have received Christ. Understand this. If you will plug in to God's agenda, God's purpose, glory to God, all right, of filling the earth with men and women that are born again, you are going to see the hand of God. I promise you. You are going to see the hand of God like never before. If you make your life about communicating the gospel to another soul who has not heard it before, if you make your life about committing, presenting the gospel, all right, to the ends of the world, to people in your neighborhood, to your family, your friend, talking to them about what Jesus Christ has done, you will see the hand of God. And when we are talking about sharing the gospel, sometimes people think you have to be like weird spiritually. No. The gospel is a simple message. Jesus died for you 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross and he shed his blood for the remission of your sins. Place your trust in him and your sins will be forgiven. Very simple message. Very, very simple message. There are scriptures you should have. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Eternal life. So Jesus came so that we can have eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is what? Eternal union with God. It is a union with God. It is a quality of life where there is peace between God and man, and sin is no longer a barricade between us and God. So there is peace, glory to God, between us and God. God now makes us his temple eternally. It means death will not separate us from God. It means nothing can separate us from God. This is what Jesus died for us to receive. And every man needs to have that knowledge. And that knowledge, all right, spreads when people that have it tell it. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Come on, church. All right. That knowledge spreads when people that have the knowledge spread it. When we tell people about Jesus. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And you need to be passionate. Oh, I was watching, I follow some Northern Christians, Fulani Christians. I love those guys. Despite the persecution, those guys are preaching the gospel. Despite them being killed, those guys are preaching the gospel. In the north, they don't live. They say, no, this land must come to Christ. And they are preaching. They are preaching. They will chase them from here. They will go to another place and they will preach. They will go to another place and they will preach. For them, what gives them the greater joy is people coming to Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? So we must prioritize sharing the gospel message. Hallelujah. The gospel is not come to Jesus and you will be wealthy. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not come to Jesus and he will give you husband. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not come to Jesus and you will prosper. That's not the gospel. Does God want us to prosper? Yes. But the gospel message is based on a specific group, all right? Specific fact. It has to do with what God did in Christ concerning sin. Glory to God. All right? Jesus came to solve the sin problem. And I can promise you, every single challenge we have on the earth is connected to sin. It's sin. It is sin that makes a senator take money for his constituency. All right? The money for the constituency they gave him was 500 million. He goes and says he built a world-class smart school for 350 million. And we go and look at the school. And we are wondering what exactly did they use the 350 million for and where the smartness in the school is. Because you are looking for smartness, you can't see any smartness. It's sin, sin. That's what sin does. Praise the Lord. Sin is what will make a man who is married be having side chick and have children out of wedlock. And those children out of wedlock are deprived of the love of a father because they are only with their mom, you know, and the man is playing hide and seek with his number one family. And that child grows up without the love of a father. And he grows up, if he's a lady, she grows up looking for love, all right, where she can't find it because the love she was supposed to have at home, she never got it. It's sin that does that. Praise the Lord. It's sin that does that. Jesus came to solve that problem. Jesus did not just die for us to receive forgiveness of sins. He also died for us to be delivered from the sin nature. Are you following? This is why this is a message we must tell people. Jesus died for you. Accept him today. Jesus died for you. Place your faith in Jesus today. We must tell it because that is the number one purpose you put on earth for. This is what God is concerned about. Because this earth as it is, this cosmos as it is passing away. A new heaven and a new earth will come. And the folks that will be part of the new heaven and the new earth are those who have been reborn in the image of Jesus Christ. You must understand. When God looks at the earth, God does not see Muslim. God does not see Christian. God only sees two categories of people. The people that have the light of God in them and the people that don't have the light of God in them. And you can only get the light of God in you when you receive the light of the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the light of the world is who? Jesus. Can I hear his name again? Yes. Can I hear his name again?
Yes.
Jesus. So this man that has received Christ is supposed to be the predominant voice on the earth. He's supposed to have influence on the earth. Imagine if we had men and women under the governance of Jesus in large numbers in a territory. What should happen? Maternal mortality should be down because those men will build hospitals and they will not steal the money that is supposed to use for the hospitals. Glory to God. Yeah. Praise God. The roads will be good because when it's time to do road projects, these men that are governed by Jesus will build the best roads. Hallelujah. The husbands will be loyal and faithful to their wives. The wives will be faithful to their husbands. All the children, the wife gave birth to their husband, belong to the husband. Governance of Jesus. It will show. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Lift up your hands and say out loud, I belong to Jesus. And I will bring many to Jesus. So the man who has been born again is as the light of God, and that light must shine. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Glory to God. Can we read one to go? He says what? Let your light so shine before who? I want you to read it again. Let your light so shine before who?
Yes.
Read it again. Let your light so shine before who?
Yes.
Before who?
Yes.
So that means men must be able to say, man, these guys have light in them. I mean, I thank God for this person's light because look at what he calls the light that is supposed to shine before men. And he says, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is where? That's the picture. Multiplied men, multiplied number of men who impact the earth with good works because they have the light of God in them. You see, sometimes some people have this idea, all right, that, you know, being a Christian is about churchiness. I come to church on Sunday, I bath on Monday, I come to church on Monday, I live in here on Monday, I come to church on Monday, I speak every on Monday. Listen, that's what it's about. Churchiness. So in church, they're terrible on Monday, but they make content with churchiness on Sunday. This kind God do. I never seen typho. Then you now put it Instagram. Oh man, I just want to just thank God the first Sunday of the year. I really dance and praise my God. You use God for content. That's not what it's about. You see, why do you come to church? Ephesians chapter 4, 11 tells us, he gave us apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the what? Ministry. You see, you are not coming to church to mark attendance. That's not why you are coming to church. You are coming to church for you to be trained and equipped to serve God better. That's why you're coming to church. Church is not a social gathering. Hallelujah. We come to be trained. You come to be taught what the gospel is and how to share that gospel message. That is part of why you come to church. Because you see, in church, you are being prepared for the world to come. Hallelujah. Yes, you are trained in how to live your life in this present world, but you are trained with an eye on the world to come. So we train you, we equip you, we ensure you focus on what matters to God. That's why you come. So your life, your conduct must be better on Monday because you attended training on Sunday. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, multiplied number of men with impact on the earth. All right? In Matthew 5, 14 to 15, he says, ye are the light of the world. I want us to read this one. He says, ye are the light of the world. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be what? Are you seeing that? A city that is set on a hill cannot be what? You see, a city that is set on a hill.
cannot be hid. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill that cannot... Listen, the Bible lets us know that the whole earth lies in darkness. So if the whole earth lies in darkness, it means that the whole earth needs what? Come on, church, talk to me now. The whole earth needs what? Now, I don't know how many of you were in this time where there was no solar, no inverters, and when NEPA took light, what we did was we would find a vantage point in the room, then we will hang lantern so that the light from the lamp will what? Shine, right? So if there is darkness all over, where do you want to place the light? Do you want to place the light under the bed? Or do you want to place the light where everybody can see it? Exactly. So what does that tell me? What that tells me is that as a believer, because I have been born again and I have the light of God in me, it is important, even necessary, to be where I should live a life that is worthy to be seen. Why? God needs me to shine. So people, because the light I'm shining is not of my own. I am shining that light because I received who? To come to that light so I can tell them where the light that I'm shining came from. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It's Vision Casting Sunday. So there are things we are going to do this year. Don't worry. I'm getting there. This is, I'm just laying foundation. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Now I must stress that when we are talking about the city set on the hill shall not be healed, I shine. It is not for self. Remember that. It is not for what? Self. It is not to promote self. It's not to use God and the ideals of the kingdom and the ideas of God to promote yourself. That's not what it is about. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In fact, I found that one of the things for God to really use you, really use you, one of the things that has to happen to you is that you need to die to yourself. You really do need to die to yourself. The need to be seen. The best thing God can trust with visibility is the one that does not need to be seen. The one that is not looking for visibility, for self. There are people that need fame to validate themselves. There are people that need visibility to make them feel as though they've achieved something. And when God wants to, that's the first thing that must die. Come again, 10 years ago, mon pop. So you now go to God, Baba God. 10 years ago, one come again. Today, one come again, Lord. And you begin to cry, Baba God, you are sounding like, you know how you are sounding. Let me tell you how you are sounding. You know how a baby wakes up and goes, that's how you are sounding. You understand? What is the purpose? The koeje 10 years ago, what did you do with the koeje? What was the purpose? No eternal purpose, no eternal significance, just vanity. That's not the purpose of letting your light shine. That is not the purpose of a city being set on the hill. Praise the Lord. You know what? That's the problem we have in our country. You see, our country has trained us to be survivalists. This is how it is. Everybody is in a bucket, in chains, all right? And we are trying to come out. You understand? We're trying to come out. We hustle, We now, God, you know, we now use God too because, you know, you come, prosperity, gospel come. You will make it, amen. You will rise first in your family, amen. God will use you to show your family members that he is God, amen. You come out. By the time you now come out, and you come out of that race, you stand above everybody else. Instead of you to see that the reason God brought you out was to create a system that will ensure this nonsense where everybody is inside one rat race stops. No. You want to stand up and begin to give them secrets, 21 secrets of how I came out.
and for them to pay to access it. You now want to elevate your... That is not the purpose of the city being set on the hill. These are our politicians. They will come to us for votes. Poor man, he will borrow for election. Then meet one godfather. Then he becomes, gets the position. Instead of him to look for how can I make the system better? Oh, no. When he sees there are bad roads, instead of him to think, this is the survivalist person. This is the person that the Nigerian system has wounded his psyche, has damaged his brain. He looks at it. There's bad road. Instead of him to say, how can we ensure there's good roads? No, he say, no, I need to buy SUV and move in convoy. Anybody that says, how did you become so important? I will oppress him and put him in jail. That's the mindset. That is not the Christian kingdom mindset. The purpose of being set on the hill and not being hidden is so that we can shine our light and show this is what it should be about. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When you set up your hospital, the hospital must be a city set on a hill that shows itself as a pattern for other hospitals to follow. You don't go to corners. No. You don't conform to the society that you are in. No. You say, I'm a light. I will shine. I will not conform, but I will transform the system. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, it takes audacity. See, when we say this is the year of audacity, it is a year of confronting failed systems. It is a year of confronting failed ideologies. It takes courage to confront. It is easier to conform. Hallelujah. Going against the grain, we take courage. Swimming against the tide, we take courage. That's what the year is about, doing things differently. It's the year of audacity. Hallelujah. All right? It's the year of audacity. So you have to be audacious to swim against the tide. You have to be. You have to be. You have to be. Hallelujah. I said you have to be. Maybe you get into politics and someone says, if you want to win second term, this percentage of the something must come to us. It takes audacity to say no. You win with second time, no problem. If I don't win second time, I will make sure my first time, I do what I'm supposed to do. Hallelujah. We need such men. And I'm praying that such men are here in Jesus' name. I said, I am praying that such men and women are here in Jesus' name. This is when I say men, don't think I'm excluding women. No. The Bible says there's neither what? Male and female. Man is male and female. Praise God. So man is in Christ. Male and female is man in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's continue because of time. Now listen, when God wants to bring about light in a place, his focus is on bringing light through men and women. Is you. You are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world. He gave you his light. Or the light of the world has come to live inside you. So now you are the light of the world. Jesus must be seen through my life. Jesus must be seen through your life. And Jesus being seen through your life and my life is in our impact in our society. Some folks think that shining our light is just through prayer. Prayer is very important. But prayer, in terms of impact to society, is a means to an end. Because what prayer does is that it brings you into, deep fellowship with God. That deep fellowship with God will transform your life. Your transformed life will impact society. Any prayer that does not impact society is fake. It is fake. It is fake. You are not talking to God. If you are talking, you say you are talking to a God and you are not changed, it's not God you are talking to. Real fellowship with God, it changes you. Hallelujah. It will change you. How can you talk to God? God, Almighty God, wisdom. He doesn't have wisdom, he's wisdom itself. He doesn't have knowledge, he's knowledge itself. The fullness of all kinds of knowledge. We've said there's no ego in God. So where did you see your pride after you prayed? How can you fellowship with God and not exemplify his qualities and his character? It's not possible. I'm not talking. It's not, something is wrong with that prayer you are doing. We need to reevaluate it. Hallelujah. Because prayer should lead to divine encounters. And after those encounters, your perspective of the world should change. Your relationship with the world should change. Your worldview will change. Prayer that does not change your worldview, we need to investigate it. Hallelujah. God wants to send you into that world and change it. Praise God. Bible says we are the salt of the earth. So there is corruption in the earth. The purpose of salt is to slow it down. Which means no matter how corrupt a territory is, if the salt of the earth is, the impact will show. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. Amen. Say out loud, I have audacity to confront the corrupt systems in my world. Louder. I have audacity to confront the corrupt systems in my world. I remember one day like this, I was driving with my wife. We were going for a burial. So, we're going for a burial. So, we got a point. We're using Google Map because we didn't know where we're going. So, Google Map told us to turn left. I'll be turn right at a place. So, for some reason, we didn't know. You know, now, when you don't know some place, you know you follow Google Map now. Amen. So, we turn right. We turn right. That's how police came out from some pa-pa-pa. Aga! You're not supposed to turn here. And you know how they come like that. You now open this door. Open. You know, I'm like, first, I was very calm. I've passed that level where police will be harassing. It's not going to happen. We will take you to our station. Oh, yeah. I said, where is the station? Let's go. So the thing that annoyed me was my wife was sitting in front. Then the police person wanted to open the door that my own wife, should come down, that they want to enter. I first went, you said what? My wife? No. I opened the door, go to enter the back. Sit down. Let's go. Drove them. Because you know the one is bribe they want. I can't give you bribe. Are you with me? It is not going to happen. Whatever wants to say, we will go there. Whatever wants to happen will happen, but I am not going to give you bribe. I'm the light of the world. If I start giving you bribe, it means I am part of the corruption in this system. I refuse to be part of it. So we went to this thing. I sat down. I explained to the person there. I said, okay, this is what happened. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I didn't know that we're not, because there was no sign anywhere. They expected us to know by revelation that we're not supposed to do. There was no sign anywhere. You understand? I said, Google said I should turn right. Who am I to disobey Google? So we're there. We talked. And this. They were trying to say, you know, something. I said, look, you know what? Let me call my lawyer. And, you know, let my lawyer. So when I started talking about lawyers and, you know, some things, I said, oh, guys, that's not gotten that far now. You look like some sensible citizen. I said, you say, what will you give for the boys? I said, nothing, no. I said, because if I give you money while I'm here so that you let me go, that's bribe. I won't give you bribe. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? I can later on, if I feel like, be a blessing to you because of your service to the country. After all, you are serving Nigeria. But that I will give you money to come, it will not happen. No. So, what say you? All right, sir. You can let you. I dropped my card. I said, you know, I'm a medical doctor. If you want us to talk on certain things relating to your health, let's talk later. This. And I was on my way. God forbid. I will transfer money to bribe police officer. Then I will not be preaching. Then they will not say, I know be this man give us bribe that time. Constable, see this pastor. It's not me. We rather go to the court, traffic this, and we sit down there. I'll tell myself, okay, your fine is this. We pay the fine. Glory to God. You cannot conform to a system you want to change. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You cannot. You are saying you want to change the family system, and you are fornicating. How are you changing a family system when you are doing the very same thing the people of the world are doing? We will change the family system. We will change the family system. And you went to put woman inside your house you are not married to. Both of you are waking up and sleeping up. In fact, you are doing money devotion together.
Inside that much devotion, you are not hearing the voice of God said, you are being stupid. You didn't hear it. That's why I say, it's not God you are talking to. Praise the Lord. Think about it, the mistakes people in the world made. Sex before marriage, having children out of wedlock, getting pregnant, doing abortion, and injuring yourself. You are doing it, and you want to change that system? No. You need to forsake that way of living and be a light to those who are living that way. It must start from pastor. Pastor should be over of one wife and not be looking for side chick. There should be nobody in the church to say, pastor was talking to me funny. Because if there's no integrity in the pulpit, there will never be integrity in the pew. Hallelujah. When a pastor blow, politicians will come. Political power always seeks religious power for validation. So it will take audacity for religious persons to say, I will not see you. I will not take picture with you. I will not accept money from you if you are not doing the people right. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? If a person that has political office comes and says, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I heard you people are building, you know, we are raising money for building. That person now come, praise the Lord, I want to thank the Lord for all he's doing in my life. I want to give 1 billion naira. Our response will be, praise the Lord! Praise what? You people should wait. 1 billion. Ah. Sir, which business are you doing that you are giving us 1 billion? You see, our conscience and our name must be more important than that building we want to build. So that we don't sacrifice integrity. Look, someone say, pastor, it's because I've been 25 years in ministry. I'm not going to change. Amen. It's not now I will change. Glory to God. It's better the building is not built than I collect money from a politician that is a thief. Because we call him 1 billion, come, sir. Please, so in this church, we don't collect money from, on, you understand? I'm a banker. We check. We do the research. We know how to check. I have people in EFCC. I have people in NFIU. This person is giving 1 billion naira to our church. Please help us confirm. I'm not joking. We are not God because one politician. Because do you know what they used to say after a papa was after? Do you know what they say? It's not me they will say it about. God forbid bad thing. Nothing must affect my testimony and nothing should affect yours. You stole money from people in the community. Then you now gave it to church. Then you are now coming to do Thanksgiving inside church. After impoverishing your community, then the pastor is laying hands on. Do you understand the optics of that nonsense? The pastor is not laying hands on you. The pastor is laying hands. That man does not believe in any laying of hands. It's the picture. They will snap it. Then they will put it out there. And reverend something, something for fatherly blessing. What that is telling the masses is that this nonsense this politician is doing is sanctioned by the church. That's what it means. That's what it means. I always tell my brothers, my pastor friends, the apostles and bishops and all that are close to. I always warn them. Whenever I see them moving close to political figures, I pick up my phone and say, I'm warning you, stop this thing. Stop it. This is what they are going to. And I sometimes, even before those political people, I said they are going to come. And this is what they are going to do. Be careful. Don't let them launder money through you. Keep your integrity. Hallelujah. A church that conforms to the world cannot transform it. Hallelujah. Let's just quickly close. I have some filming because we are going to pray. Amen. Are you learning something today? Are you learning something today? Now, if you are compromised in any way, you know, sometimes, you know, when we say this is your year of breakthrough, amen! Please, that breakthrough must be obtained legitimately. And that legitimacy, I'm talking about according to God's laws. Amen. Don't go and sleep with your boss to get promotion. Come and say, praise the Lord, the God of breakthrough has answered my prayer. No, come and don't, it's not breakthrough. God was not involved. Don't lie on God.
Because you see, you know, we are under grace. But you see, angels sometimes, God can give them allowance. Only touch, you understand, in a way that you won't like. Don't do that. You went, you got contract. But you see that contract, you got a contract for $3 billion. But out of that $3 billion, they say you build 100-kilometer road. Out of that $3 billion, you are supposed to give the minister 20%. You are supposed to give the palm sec 10%. Are you following what I'm saying? The road, you have not built it. So you now went. What is left? It's $3 billion. What is left now? Out of everything, you have taken your profit that you said, you know, it's like 50 million, 100 million, 150. You now look at the road, 100 kilometers. How are we going to do them now? People now go there. You move to site and do some abracadabra with pictures that you give them. So you now come, put some tractors on the road, then pour red sand on like 1 kilometer. You put one, you dig gutter here, block people's places of business so they cannot even drive into their house. Dig gutter here, snap picture. Do some small quota, put it there. The governor will say, project ongoing. You and I know that project, it will be ongoing for 15 years. Don't come and take, don't be that. You are not transforming your society, you are conforming to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let the government know, say, listen, these are the thieves we work with when we want to do corruption. But you see this company, when you want to get the job done. That's why I like Koskaris. You know Koskaris? Everybody knows. Don't bring corruption near that guy. If you want to do corruption, hide it. You understand? Because if you put, it's not going to deal. And he's the one that has the franchise for many of the cars most of these people want. So when he goes there, what is the price? This is my invoice. He will submit it to you. Pay it. That's it. After we pay, everybody go. We will pay back. Don't come and tell me nonsense. I will not add anything. I will not do anything. You know how that man is now. You know how he speak here. I will not add anything. I'm not doing it. That is it. If you like, you want to go and buy another one. You call BMW. We have a franchise. Yeah, because car is buying for me. We have, you understand. So you have to deal with the guy. Integrity. The man is known for it. Be that kind of person. So that when he's carrying mic and he's talking about integrity on pulpits around Nigeria, no political person is looking at him. Praise the Lord. Don't conform to the world system. Transform it. Look at your name and say, don't conform to the world system. And that is a very low desire. I said, don't conform to the world system. Transform it! Hallelujah. Here are seven areas we must live audaciously. Seven areas. I've touched on it already, but I'm just going to emphasize. Number one, audacious soul winning. Someone say audacious soul winning. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel 12, verse 3. Can read it? It says what? And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Every single member of this church must become a soul winner. Now listen, winning souls is not a means to grow a pastor's personal empire. You're not helping the pastor. That's not what it's about. Winning souls is about, one, preaching the gospel to the person. Two, ensuring that person is planted in the local church. So what is the purpose of that person planted in the local church? So that person, because of planted in local church, number one, he has a family of believers to influence him and show him the example how to live the Christian life. They will mentor him. They will help that person. Number two, for that person to receive training so that same message that was committed into your hand that you introduce them to, they do the same thing. Glory to God. Soul winner. Hallelujah. Say this with me, I am a soul winner. Say, I am a soul winner. Now, let me tell you something. See, no believer, no one has the power to make another person born again. People being born again is a work of God through his spirit. But what we can do is that we can present the gospel to everybody we meet. You see, when we present the gospel and we preach the gospel to them, the part of them getting born again and regenerated is a work of the Spirit of God. And that work of the Spirit of God will happen the moment they hear the gospel. The only thing that will stop it when a man hears the gospel and for that man does not become born again is if he rejects by the exercise of his will the work the Spirit of God wants to do in him with the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. So, for example, the Bible says that the word was preached to them as it was unto us, but the word did not profit them, not mixed with what? Faith in them that had it. Then Paul again comes and says, in fact, Stephen has said it first, then Paul later. He says, you stiff-necked hearts. How is it that you always resist the Holy Ghost? So it's possible to resist the Holy Ghost. If that man does not resist and he yields, he's born again. So the person that gets people born again is the Father through the Spirit. We can't get anyone born again. What we can do is to preach. We preach. Everybody say we preach. Someone say we preach. Someone say we preach. Make it a decision that this year, I will preach to no less than 1,000 people this year. It's not hard. It's possible. 1,000. 10 people a weekend. Hallelujah. 10 people a weekend is 520 already in a year. There are 52 weekends. 52 weekends, yes. If you preach to 10 people a weekend, that is 520 people. Just think about it. It's very possible. You preach to the old, you preach to the young, you preach to teenagers. It's a simple message. You don't have to be there for 10 hours. Just a short message. Can I talk to you? How are you? My name is this. Have you heard? Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? What is Christian? Hold on. You know, can I just share the gospel with you? Give me 5 minutes. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and I. Why did he die? He died because we are sinners. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have gone, everyone, to his own way. Everything. All right, the one thing that connects all of humanity, where we may not all be rich, we may not all be poor, but we are all sinners needing God's grace. Jesus died on that cross in your place, taking upon himself the punishment that was meant for you because of your rebellion, and he has given you justification if you choose to receive and believe his sacrifice on that cross. All you have to do is to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, this offering of yourself for my sins, I accept it. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me and you rose for me. Forgive me my sins and make me you. It's a very simple thing. Hallelujah. After you've led that person, you know, the person has, you know, led that person to Christ. And listen, someone say, but in the Bible, people didn't pray the sinner's prayer. The Bible just told us that they believed. Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. So confessing Jesus as Lord publicly is a confirmation that you have believed on him in your heart. So confession of the Lord is a revelation of your believing in your heart. Are you following what I'm saying? So basically, when you are leading that person to say the prayer, what you are doing is letting that person publicly affirm before you that which you've preached in the gospel, his heart has believed it and his mouth aligns with it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Say aloud with me, I am an audacious soul winner. So, you know, as you win souls, you now must pastor them. Church is not about one man standing here preaching. No, it is it's a community. So as I'm coming here now and I'm preaching, all right, what should happen is after the service, amen, by groups of 10, by groups of 5, by groups of 20, there is, you know, we divide ourselves and there's somebody that is discipling group of 10. Somebody is discipling groups of 5. Somebody is discipling group of 20. So you are having your own audience that you are teaching. You understand? Then those 22, they get to a point that they are having their own 5s and their own 10 that they are discipling. So everybody has a flock. The pastor is not the only one that's supposed to work miracles or heal the sick. You also are supposed to heal the sick. The Bible didn't say in Mark 16, it didn't say, these signs shall follow them that pastor. No. It said, these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. It's called all of us to do the work of ministry. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible tells us that the purpose of the fivefold ministry was for them to raise workers for ministry. Hallelujah. So my KPI as a preacher is going to be measured by how many people I raise to do the work of ministry. That is my KPI. My KPI is not in how much ministry I did, but in how many people I raise to do the work. How many people, all right, how kingdom-minded the people under my care became because of the work of ministry I did on their lives. Are you getting what I'm saying? Church, are you getting what I'm saying? Number 2, are you writing this thing down? Amen. A good disciples of Jesus Christ takes notes. Think about it. Some of you that come to church and just look. If you were a disciple of Jesus, we would not have the Gospels today. You see? Tell us about Jesus. I can't remember. I didn't take any note. I know they come by church with Bible. Hey, Jesus, he talked that one. He talked and when? When he talked him now? Notice something. The reason why you have a Bible to read is because the people God was talking to were writing. You know what they say? Thus said the Lord. How many of you know when you are reading, thus said the Lord? You know, now God talking. But for you to read, someone did what? Praise the Lord. If you want God to keep talking, take a posture that you will keep writing. Listen, and let me tell you something that you must never forget. God never does or says something only for the generation he's saying it to. When God does or says something, he's doing it and saying it not just for that generation, but also for the generation that is to come. That is why God is big on preserving the encounters he has with men. So he tells those men to transmit what he told them to the generation after them, all right? And he keeps going and he keeps going. That's why you find that before the Bible was written, there was something called oral tradition. You always said what God did. They always talked about what God promised. And people always, they would transfer, then he wrote it. Moses was the first. He wrote it and put it in a book. And that book, they kept copying it. So have the attitude and the culture to have a means of capturing what you are hearing in church. So as you are writing, as I'm teaching, write the points. But there are things also that God will bring to your mind. As you are listening to the sermon, write it down. Take note of it. It could tell you, you see that chapter, that verse they opened, when you get home, pay attention to it. But if you don't write anything, after I've moved, you will forget. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Number 2, audacious living. Everybody say audacious living. We will no longer live at the level of self, but transcend to living to impact our generation. Every member, hallelujah, in 2026, must live to significantly impact their immediate community. An environment. Do you live in an environment that is very dirty? You come out of your house, inside the gutter, there is a waste nylon, everything is blocked, the drainage is not moving. In your house, and you come out, and you just move past. Or you too, you bring out your own waste baskets. Then you look at gutter, that is drainage, that water is supposed to flow inside. Then you now say, yes. This is our dustbin. Then you pour it inside. Hallelujah. Or there are pools of water. You know, everything just finished. We finish cooking and we have meat water. We just bring it outside. Hallelujah. and just pour it on the floor. Your whole compound is now smelling of meat and panla and Titus. Everywhere smelling. You are now, you understand what I'm saying? You will go on your computer and say, okay, good. Look at everywhere is dirty. Everywhere is falling sick, malaria every 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Then you now come up. You know how people come up? They say, this Lagos is dirty and smelly. Who dirtied it? Is it ghost? We are the one that dirtied it. You are eating corn inside bus. After you finish, as the bus is driving, throw it out. For who to carry it? You buy rice inside this time, you're eating. After you finish, you fling it outside. Or you throw it inside the gutter. Listen. Remember, in our affirmation, we say we are going to what? Recover lost ruins. Is that not what we said? We are going to what? Recover lost ruins. Go to that community. Organize people, young people, and say, we are going to clean this community today. Wear the shoe, put on gloves, enter into that gutter and remove everything. Shame the bad people in that place. Praise the Lord. Then you will put signs out. Stop throwing stuff inside this. That you now begin to say, okay, we don't have designated places with dustbins. You organize the community and people, let us buy, you know, dustbins and put it there for something community and put it there. Then you tell the security people, you see all those malams that used to go with this year, this thing, looking for pick. They must not pick our basket. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? And you drive a campaign. We no litters anywhere. That simple thing. There's impact. Let me show you one scripture. Isaiah 58. Is somebody learning something here? Isaiah 58, 6 to 7. I need to be faster. Hallelujah. Is somebody learning something here? Is this talking to somebody in this church? Hallelujah. And those of you online, if this is blessing you, please let me know in the comment section. Amen. It says, Isaiah 58, 6 to 7. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To lose the bands of wickedness. This is how God thinks. When God is looking at religious and spiritual activity, it is not just for religious purposes. No. He says, the fast I have chosen is the one that will lose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy bodies, and to let the oppressed go free. Not just spiritually oppressed, any kind of oppressed. And that he break every yoke. Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? That means when we are saying we are doing fasting, spiritual activity, he's saying we should be dealing our bread to the hungry, that is helping the poor, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. This is the purpose of the fasting. Impact. You will notice in this church, we are big on food banks. All right? Because I personally do not believe that one group in church should be very prosperous and another group of members don't have food to eat. I don't believe in that kind of Christianity. It does not work for me. Does it work for you? I don't believe that my kids should go to school, but the member of church that has children that they are not going to school. That's why you see me, are we asking which school? Where is it? I mean, I went to the teen's church one time and I was asking the children question. Then I was interacting with the child. I was like, I know, something is wrong. Now ask the mother, oh yeah, please, which school is she going? What's going on? This. Because you can't, why would you come to this, a church? A child will be a member of a church and be in the year 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, and he's not going to school. What kind of church is that? Hallelujah. What kind of church is that one? Do you know that the reason why you had the Awolowos, the Azikiwis, and those names, why many of those guys had education, was because of missionary schools. Missionary schools. Now let me also gist you one gist that you may not be aware of. I think I told you something like this some one series we did last year. Ah, dear Jesus. So one time like this, I received an invitation to come for, because I'm in finance, so I received an invitation. So there was a hospital that was based in Uganda that wanted to do kind of like a collaboration with Nigerian health community. So I was called because I'm very popular in the healthcare space in this country. So I was kind of sitting down there. Now, who were the owners of this hospital? The owners of this hospital was actually a group called the Agada Khan. There's a guy called the Agada Khan, right? So the Agada Khan, they are a sect of Muslim, you know, Islam, and they have certain beliefs. And one of the things they believe is that they have, so if you know Islam well, Islam is divided into the Sunni and the Shiite. So among the Shiites, they believe in that after the prophet, there's the imams. So the Agada Khan is the imam responsible for this group. Do you know what these guys are doing? These guys are providing free schools. All right? Secondary school, primary school, then subsidize education up to university level in East Africa. Are you following what I'm saying? Then they are now using that. They will now put Islam. Because if I own the school, I can determine, are you following what I'm talking about? It's my school. Then they are building hospitals, and the hospitals are offering international standards. You understand? Not mop and shop in a hospital, no. Korea Hospital. For reducing maternal child mortality, infant mortality. That's what they're doing. And because they're coming to do free stuff like that, all of a sudden, the presidency opens the door to them because they are bringing a lot of money. And those things are funded, all right? Muslim Brotherhood, funded by Qatar, funded by Saudi Arabia. A lot of the princes are putting billions of dollars into those kind of things. All those NGOs, that's what those guys are doing. So basically, what they did was this. They studied how the missionaries entered Africa in the late 20th century, and I've seen that the church has abandoned it. Are you guys, you understand what I'm saying? So they've gone to it. They've taken that strategy, and they're pumping billions there. So when you move, look at Uganda, and you look at Eastern Africa, and even look at some places in Nigeria, especially in the Southeast and North Central, you will see that places where Christians were more, Muslims are now. Hallelujah. We have taught. Your child doesn't have education, eh? Use your faith to get school fees. But they are saying, we are going to use our communal faith to ensure your child goes to school. We need to think. Audacious living means I am not just thinking of my child's school fees. I'm thinking of the school fees of every child. No child should be found outside hawking anything between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. Where should that child be? In school. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Number three. Are you learning something? Nigeria has 18 million children that are out of school. 15% of the world's total. So we're talking about partner environment, we're talking about social challenges, hunger, out of school children, unemployment, teenage pregnancy. Teenage pregnancy is an issue. Now listen to me. What do we do with teenage pregnancy? As a church, number one, we train our children in the love and in the way of the Lord. All right? We teach them the word of God. Hallelujah. We teach them about abstinence. Glory to God. Right? That's what we do. All right? We make sure we are present in their lives. But if we find a teenager getting pregnant, what we don't do, we don't shame that teenager. We don't drive them out of the community and make things worse. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You know that thing that we do? We now shame the teenager, you know, and begin to, all of a sudden, the teenager is by themselves, isolated. Do. Hallelujah. So what are we going to do? Now, we cannot, as our own church, we can't do it for everybody. All right, God is going to bless us. And why I'm telling you about this is because when increase comes, so you know what the purpose of increase is. The moment purpose of increase is not for you to come and be oppressing us with Lambo. Hallelujah. If you buy Lambo, I will enter it now. You drive me small. Praise God. But that's not the purpose of increase. You know one thing about luxury cars? You drive them for some time, then you get tired. Glory to God. That's why if you notice, most of the people that don't understand the purpose of increase, they buy one Lambo, then they say they buy a newer Lambo. It's all vanity. You'll be chasing winds. Amen. You buy the first Benz, they will hail you. Hey! Benzo, Benzema, Benzema. I remember I bought my first Benz. How many Benz have I bought? I think I bought like 4. So I can tell you a few things about vanity. When you buy the first one, you are driving, you feel, it feels good. Then after some time, you get used to it. You buy another one. You just understand later on, purpose of car is to take me from my house to where I'm going. It should have AC. It should not be making crocoto, 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 crocoto when I'm moving. You understand? Good car. Are you getting what I'm saying?
That's it.
I was looking at someone, Warren Buffett. Well, I'm referring to Christian, by the way. Christian values. The guy used to drive second-hand car. 4th richest man in the world. The same house he lived in since 1968. He's seen the house. In fact, the son said one day, he read a magazine, all right, called Forbes magazine. And the Forbes magazine said his father was, he said, Warren Buffett's son, he said he was reading about his father, his own father, that the father was top 10 richest person in the world. He said, that's news to me. It's news to God. You understand? But in Africa, when we have small money, it must show. Amen. It must show in my body, it must show. No be joke, oh my God, that's what's on my head, it must show. You don't be seeing ring. One ring is not enough. If you have 2 Rolex, you will wear 2 Rolex. You wear one here, you want here. Why are you wearing 2 watches? This time may be wrong. I confirm in this one. I was looking at one footballer. On his birthday, this guy bought one giant diamond pendant. I didn't know who was wearing who. Was he the one wearing the chain or the chain? Because he cannot be comfortable. This thing was very massive. It was round, big. And he was like, I was like, I said, how is your neck? It cannot be comfortable. That's the problem when you don't understand the purpose of increase. So this is what we are doing this year. We are going to open more food banks to help the hungry. This is what we want to do. We want to ensure that every service day, all right, we have food banks. If people need, they can always find food in God's house. Obviously, we will teach faith. We will pray. My personal joy is where people that usually come to church for food banks no longer need the food banks. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. So they get to the point, Pastor, thank God, we're good now. We now want to contribute to the food bank. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was looking at, we're doing a review of our finances, last year we spent close to 40 million naira on welfare as a church. And that's for conservatives. Over 40 million naira on welfare. Praise God. Now, we want to give more scholarships to out-of-school kids, ensuring they get an education. We have some kids that were paying their school fees. We want to increase that number. Hallelujah, this year, praise God. My personal number is to get to 10,000 children that are on OECA scholarships, all right, all around the country. Praise the Lord. Number 3, we want to hold quarterly basic skill acquisition events, all right, in the ministry to ensure that those who lack skills for employability and to generate income for themselves, all right, have the training in photography, hairdressing, graphic design, video editing, coding, app design, you know, things of that sort, all right, that they can help learn. I remember there was a time we did this. We had people come to the office. We trained them in certain skills. And some of those guys are video editors today, charging money. I see them on Instagram, and they're doing well for themselves. Praise God. Fourth thing we want to do this year is we want to prioritize the girl child. Ensuring all girl children, female children within our church community have an education and are protected from sexual abuse. Praise God. It must not. This family meeting, oh, please, give me some time. I hope, can I take some more time? Let me finish my this thing. Please, I beg you in the name of Jesus. If you are still your first time, please let me finish. Amen. Listen. The girl child must be protected in church. Amen. May it never happen inside this church. That one girl was something, something, or somebody misled someone into sexual deviancy inside this church. Amen. This is not the place for it. And it must never, ever happen here. Praise God. So, the church must be a safe space. Now, I'm not just talking now because you were saying, oh, some pastors. Mm-mm. It's not just pastors. Members too. You don't come here to go and enter relationship with an unsuspecting lady, so I'll be touching her breast in your car. I'm saying nothing like that, you know. I mean, I love you. Mm-mm. We love her, respect her body, and sister too. Don't be let people touch you. That you understand? I will see some videos. The thing will worry my body. I will see a guy. He will take picture with a girl he's not married to. Even if you are married to her, how will you take picture with your wife and you are pressing her bum bum? And there's a video. Then you posted it with your own hand. What is the purpose? Who is dragging wife with you? Who is dragging wife with you? You are not an orangutan. Amen. You are a man of God. Amen. Glory to God. Respect. Amen. Glory to God. The 51, what we're going to plan, we're going to do this year is this. We're going to create a church community funded health insurance plan to cover the uninsured amongst us so that anyone, all right, under that plan who needs health care can just take advantage of it. We're going to work with some companies. We began the conversation with some companies, all right, that offer cheap, affordable plans that will offer it. Primary health care, all right, people need it. So that, oh, I need money to go to the hospital. No, we use that covering that we've created to do it. Praise God. I'll give you more information about it. So we'll give towards it. We'll put percentage of income to go into it and all that. So if we can cover quite a number of people, then we have a healthcare plan that can work. Praise God. I said, come on, if you like that. Does it make any sense? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right, next thing we want to do, okay, in terms of community impact, open libraries. Every church in Oikea, every branch of Oikea will have a repository of books that you should read. We want our members to read religious, finance, and otherwise, because we want to ensure we increase the knowledge base of the average member of the church. We want to ensure that no one who wants to write JAM and go to university has issues, all right, with paying for JAM forms. So we'll be looking this year to sponsor a number of folks to do their JAM exams. We also want to offer guidance and counseling in career choices for members who are in the secondary school, you know, level, so that they can know where they should go based on their interest. All right, we're also going to be organizing outreaches to secondary schools this year. All right, the outreaches should take the form of, you know, soul winning, but also things that are peculiar to, you know, people in that age grade. Now, we're going to also be introducing something called adopting schools in low-income areas. We adopt schools to renovate and upgrade. There are schools where they don't have desk, they don't have chairs, they don't have the basics. One chair to make it maybe 10,000 naira or 7,500. Hallelujah. We can go there and say, how many? Okay, let us do 100. Desk and chair. So that instead of students being, because there are schools where they actually tell the students to go and make. How many of you know what I'm talking about? In this Lagos, oh, go to the school. How much is it to paint wall? You go into a school. The school is looking like prison. Let's paint it. And we're right there. Renovated by Oikea. Light of the world. Oshie. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. Then also, we are looking at donating much-needed equipment to primary care centers. All right? We can donate a scan, a 2D scan. We can donate some laboratory equipment, but we are going to do it in such a way that we are partnering with the right PhDs so that not, what we donate is not going to disappear. Praise God. Amen. All right? Our eventual goal, by the grace of God, down the line, as God helps us, is to open subsidized hospitals accessible to the masses where people can come and deliver, all right, reduce costs, reduce charge. The cost to us will most likely be our overheads and working capital, salaries and all of that. But we'll figure that out later. Praise God. To this end, one of the things we are doing in 2026, we must be audacious givers. Every Oikian must begin to work not to survive, trade not to lavish it on themselves, but to work trade with giving as one of their most important priority. We must begin to prioritize kingdom as our main trust for living and earning. When we're talking about kingdom, we're not just talking about kingdom in terms of, oh, we want to build the largest auditorium. Auditorium for church is good. It's for church use. But that's not just the only remit of kingdom. We should also be thinking about community impact, all right, that will also advance the cause of the kingdom. Look at Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17. He says there, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Number four, it's a year of audacious faith. In this new year, as a church, we must believe God for big things. We must believe God for the lion's share where we operate our industries, not from a place of greed or covetousness, but for the purpose of positive, Christ-inspired influence on the earth. But remember, the person that God will give the world must have died to the world. Because if God gives a man who is covetous the world will corrupt him. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Praise God. Praise God. So rather than only build houses for yourself, let's believe God to build orphanages. Let's ask God how we can sponsor 10,000 kids, 100,000 kids to school. You see, don't get to the end of your life before this is what you do. Most of the people at the end of their life, they begin to set up trusts and NGOs because they begin to think about their impact because they're about to leave. While you are young, while you are middle age, begin to think impact about pouring into the next generation. People to pray to God, thank God because of what you're doing, all right, in their life. I will share these notes, all right, on our group so you can reference them. Number five, we need to be audacious members. Every member must seek to be impactful inside the care. Don't just come and sit down every Sunday. We need you. Ask, okay, how can I be of service here? Some of you come late because you are not doing anything. Find a service unit this year and serve. Praise the Lord. Join a department. Be active. Ask when we go on outreach. Volunteer. You say, Pastor, I'm a very busy person. Guess what? It's very, very unlikely that you are busier than I am. Should I give you some small details about this thing? All right, number one, by the grace of God, I pastor 11 churches. It will grow to 22 churches this year. Praise God. Number two, all right, I am a banker. I'm not just this, I am a senior banker. I have close to 40 people that report to me in the bank. 40. My portfolio is nationwide. That is the remit of the scope of what I do. Nationwide. Yet, I'm here every Wednesday preaching. Yet, I am here every Sunday preaching. I'm in several meetings. I'm in several planning this. I'm planning this. You always see me here. Let that be an example to you. That no matter how busy you are, you can always make time for God. Hallelujah. There is no excuse. None. Forget it. None. There's no excuse. Hallelujah. I remember one lady. I met her in the bank. I just joined. And was there. She checked me out on Instagram. And she was looking at all the videos on YouTube. I said, come. How are you doing it? How is it that you are doing all these things and you are still working? I said, my dear, anything you make time for, you will make time. You need to make time for it, you make time for it. You know what she said? She said, when I'm looking at your life, I'm all of a sudden feeling bad. She said, because for 15 years, I used banking as an excuse not to be faithful in church. I'm looking at you and I'm wondering, is that excuse really tenable? Praise the Lord. Yeah. She lost her job weeks after that interruption, by the way. Praise God. So every member, be a pillar in the house of God. Be a pillar. Don't be just a floor member. Be a model. Be an example. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. Attend church every week. Not just attend church. Attend your departmental meetings. Cell meetings, attend. We are praying. Join. Be on fire this year. Praise God. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example. Number six, audacity in career and business. Don't make small plans in your business this year. Remember, it's not just you that we eat from that business. You're all right. The orphans we eat from your business. The widows we eat from your business. The people that are destitute because of the system they find themselves in. As God bless you, you are taking part of your proceeds and being a blessing to them. So your business must be bigger than it currently is. Praise the Lord. All right. So God has blessed the works of your hand. Give him something to bless. This year, you should be bolder in the pursuit of knowledge, in training skills that will make you more valuable in your field. You must sharpen your skill set, be at the cutting edge of your industry. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. All right, I'm reading in the NIV. It says, if the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. So in your business, in your career, add knowledge, skillful knowledge to what you do. Never assume you know it all. Find what you don't know and get trained in that area. And finally, audacity in relationships. Courage in relationships. In 2026, be more intentional with the relationships in your life. Don't leave things to chance. If you are married, plan your year with your wife. Create time for memorable experiences with your children. Praise the Lord. You are in a relationship. You have somebody that is your fiance and all that. Create memorable experiences. Listen to what I'm saying here. Create what? Memorable, not sinful experiences. Memorable experiences. You can say, okay, we are reading one book. You know, you are getting married. Oh, yeah, books on family. You read. You guys go on a date. Make sure the date is, you know, shows that both of you are going somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not that you do Valentine and you are booking room. Ah! Hey! 2026. Oh, Nisho Shinur Kodjesu. Ah. Satan will not play 10-10 in your brain. You, there are some thoughts that once it's top of feel low, we say, hey, this is not me. Don't embrace it. When Valentine is coming, a Christian. And I say, oh, baby, don't worry, after this, we have a room with scented candle. And you're like, what? Single person. So if you do that one before marriage, what will you do in marriage? Is it scented bedroom in the sky, in a private jet? Don't let them catch you with those things. What if you're doing, the memory is you are planning for the future. Praise the Lord. Spend time with your children. Let me even talk to men. Men, listen to me. Spend time with your children. Carry them. Kiss them. If you allow just your wife to be spending time with your children, they will grow up and they say you are an absent father. But you say, but I paid their school fees. Listen, they didn't see the school fees we were paying. No. They just know that they were going to school. What they saw was when they were crying, mommy, I felt that. It's mommy they went to. You see, me, I am present in my children's life. When my children fall down, they have to choose between going to mommy to cry. If they are crying because of their mother, guess who they come to? Daddy. And really? I carry them kids. They must know me. Be present in your children's life. Look at him and say, be present in your children's life. Because you'll be 70 one day, they won't call you. Your birthday, they will forget. You'll now be saying, I paid their school fees. Amen. I'm telling you, be present in your children's life. Your courage to build a strong relationship. You have friends. Create memories with your friends. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even if you are married, you can organize girls' day out with your other female friends, whether they are single or not. You know, Maintain contact. Be intentional about it. Don't leave it to chance. Anything that is left to chance is not going to happen. Praise the Lord. Have we learned something today? Can we rise up on our feet? Because of time, I'll just one or two prayers. Then we release you quickly. Amen. Did somebody get something useful this morning? I didn't just come here to preach so that you just hear a sermon. It is something I want you to go back home and think over and take decisions on. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The year has already started. I was listening to Pastor Adeboye. He said something powerful. He said, God is not interested in years. He's interested in days. Why? Because days, what you do in the days, all right, is what will eventually happen in the year. Praise God.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For more messages, kindly search for our Telegram channel using the link t.me/oikiacc. God has blessed you.